Again, the internal logic within an alliance of those three countries, why they would want to increase trade and economic and military development and relationships between them. The problem, I think, for American foreign policy in this regard is that although we have to accept that generally American foreign policy hasn't been popular in many parts of the world for many decades, I think we're looking at a particularly difficult problem today. I say that because the Obama administration has done a particularly bad job of demonstrating that America can either be trusted or can be counted on to follow up on its word. And so whatever the merits or lack of any particular promise or threat or policy of America, it's always important that the world's number one superpower is believable, is credible, and can be trusted both by friends and enemies to follow what she says she will do. Under President Obama, sadly, that has not necessarily been the case. In fact, it's frequently not been the case. So I think what this has done, it has confused America's allies, particularly in Western Europe and in other parts of the world, who are no longer sure that that America is who they think she is. And in the rest of the world, where America has rivals, has in some cases what Washington perceives to be enemies, I think it's also extremely problematic because you don't have to like someone, or in this case, have good relations with another country to be able to deal with them, even on the most contentious issues, such as the, you know, issues related to nuclear and military matters. However, you need to know that you can deal with them in a serious way because they are serious players who have a backbone politically and otherwise. And I think the Obama administration has failed to demonstrate that on too frequent a basis. Therefore, the relationships, which are never going to be perfect with everyone, I think are worse and far more difficult with many countries in many parts of the world today than they should be or need to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have a reaction to that, Fuadizadeh, but hold your thoughts. We're going to quickly take a quick break, listen to some of the viewer comments as posted on our Facebook page, and I'll come back right after that with Fuadizadeh.
It's a bright and good innovation to counter the global security influence of the U.S. and its arrogance. Wonderful South-to-South cooperation. United, you are stronger, if not the strongest. United we stand, divided we fall. Formation of an alliance involving the trio is highly called for. Such organizations shall free humanity from NATO and EU bully. This is the start of shutting out the powers of USA and EU's NATO, and it's a blessing to us all, a way of getting America down to the ground. Fear will do the rest. A great day for humanity. The global conditions in terms of security actually call for the creation of a security bloc between Iran, China, Russia, and other independent countries that are not part of NATO. I live in the U.S. and have to applaud and agree with nations that protect themselves from the rogue government that runs our country. What a sorry situation.
Yeah, some of the viewer comments there. This time, I believe we had so many. We included actually six of them in this particular view and comment piece. Fuadizadeh, I guess Patrick Bashan before the break had many points there, and he seemed to indicate on different occasions about how this current administration in the U.S. Under U.S. President Barack Obama is not very successful, for lack of a better word, and is not displaying America as being the number one superpower. But correct me if I'm wrong, previous U.S. administrations also have displayed themselves in one way or another, like the way Obama has. Perhaps Obama has exceeded it in different areas. What reaction did you have to Patrick Basham's statements before we went on a break?
Actually, I think the Obama administration is doing relatively better in terms of realizing that the hegemony of United States is coming to an end. I think the fact that they want to pivot toward Asia is a signal that they understand that Asia is gaining power and influence internationally. I think they also realize that entering into endless, useless wars has hurt the United States, and they are not going to follow the Israeli demand on attacking Iran or causing other criminal activities in this part of the world with regard to starting a new war. Given the fact that the U.S. has a huge debt, given the fact that there are major social problems within the United States, I think the Obama administration has rightly realized that there are major difficulties at home that needs to be addressed, and sort of entering into new adventures internationally is not really good for the United States. But having said that, we have a difficulty with all U.S. Government administrations in the last many decades, and the difficulty is that they do not realize the limits of their power in terms of how much they can push around other countries, especially countries that are gaining power, especially countries that are economically major players in the world. You see what happened in Ukraine. I don't think anyone in Washington realized that Russian government is going to respond in the way that the Russian government responded. I think instead of sort of following the wrong steps of previous administrations, the Obama administration needs to realize that there are limits to U.S. power, and they need to realize that pushing Iran too much, pushing Russia, causing difficulties for Russia, or sanctioning Russian officials, at the end is going to backfire the same way that it has backfired on Iran. And I think the more they push Iran and cause difficulties Iran, the more Iran will look east and will try to form alliances with the countries like China and Russia. And I think overall that is a very bad strategy for the United States, to push these three countries to get closer to each other and form an alliance against the United States.
So, Patrick Michaud, based on what Fuad El-Azadi said, do you agree? Is America's strength waning? And because of that, has it created a power vacuum?
In comparative terms, it's waning. I'm not sure that there's a power vacuum, at least not one that's provided by external forces, so much as I think America is going through a period where she's not really sure what she should do with the power that she has, in large part because of how badly foreign wars, foreign interventions have gone in recent years. America needs to have, but has so far failed to have, a really vigorous, frank and honest debate with herself about when and how and why she should use her still enormous and preeminent power around the world. And I think one of the reasons for that is that America has fallen into the trap in recent years, and continues to fall into the trap, of not appreciating the unintended consequences of her actions. So whether it's the intervention and occupation in Iraq, which became a recruiting campaign for anti-American terrorists, or her attitude towards Russia over Ukraine, which unfortunately, one of the unintended consequences is it's pushing Russia into the arms of China, at least economically. So America needs, I think, to have a franker view, a more honest view of how the world really works, whether she likes it or not, and reassess her own foreign policy in those terms. I think if she does that, both Americans and others around the world will be better off. Until she does, we're going to continue to have these kinds of discussions about the problems that American foreign policy is unable so far to resolve.
Well, one of the consequences for Al-Azadi, and undermitted, if you can tell us, is this big deal that was struck between China and Russia, $400 billion over the next 30 years worth of gas, and it is said that the two countries are going to bypass the U.S. dollar. So has the U.S. miscalculated its moves?
I think no one in Washington is happy with the deal, with the exception of, I guess, Chinese and Russian embassies. And we have a situation where the financial deal is obviously important, but the bypassing of dollar, I think, is major step toward getting rid of dollar for international economic transactions. And this would be quite devastating for the United States. You know, the U.S. government basically prints as much money as it wants without really worrying about inflationary consequences of that action. And the reason is that, up to now at least, a major part of international financial transactions has gone through the dollar system and has used dollar. If countries decide to bypass dollar and use their local currencies for transactions, then this much dollar is not going to be needed internationally. That dollar is going to basically stay in the United States.
I do apologize. We're just fresh out of time. I do apologize. Thank you very much. That's Professor at the University of Tehran, Fuad Izzadi, talking to us here in the studios. And the founding director of Democracy Institute, Patrick Basham, spoke to us from Washington. And thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Batavli and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.